to A Real Estate of Mind right here with Think Realty Radio, hosted by Abhi Golhar. Breaking down the latest market news, tips, and strategies, Abhi Golhar is nationally recognized for his real estate expertise. It's only on Think Realty Radio, and it starts right now.
Well, hello, 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 fellow real estate investors, business people, and lovers of the show. I'm your host, Abhi Golhar, and boy, oh boy, oh boy, do I have a treat for you today. One of the things that I love talking about the most and learning about the most is what's going on in the real estate market today, and what do we expect is going to happen in the future. My guest today, I think, pretty much has officially convinced me that he has a crystal ball into the future. Like, he's time-traveled, he knows what's going to happen, and predicts it, and has done it so many times in the past, it's ridiculous. That's why I believe him, and it makes sense to me. And his name is Bruce Norris. He's the president of the Norris Group, and comes with a long resume. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Bruce because it's so incredible to me how much information Bruce has about real estate investing. It's crazy. He is an individual that has no post-high school education, but the amount he's researched and read is absolutely bar none spectacular. He's probably one of the only members of the Cal Poly Real Estate Research Council that doesn't have a PhD in economics, which is a really fascinating thing. My father has a PhD, and generally, these academic types are my favorite in the world, but I think Bruce just kind of elevated that game a little bit, and he is servicing as a chair for his second term. Bruce is over at Cal Poly Real Estate Research Council. He's best known for his market timing research in California, starting with his 1997 report titled California Comeback. In 2006, he wrote The California Crash. And keep in mind, folks, this was a time when the real estate market was at an all-time high, and he wrote something with the word crash in it. Can you believe that? Who would have read this? In 2012, All In or Fold. In 2017, 2% mortgage rates, $40 trillion in debt, and other surprise endings. Many of these reports have saved and or made many investors a lot of money, both on the private trust deed investor side as well as the hard money loan side. He hosts I Survived Real Estate, which Think Realty is also a sponsor of, and now has raised over $785,000 for charity. It's incredible. He's really known for his ability to forecast long-term real estate market trends and timing and understanding that world, because it's so crucial, right? How awesome would it be if I knew in 2002, or you knew in 2002, that the market was going to tumble in 4 or 5 or 6 years? If you knew that, wouldn't you go and raise all the money that you could get your hands on to buy property in 2008, 9, 10? Absolutely you would. So Bruce is an individual that you absolutely need to pay attention to. He speaks and debates nationally and has been a guest speaker at the Mortgage Bankers Association, REO Mac, Inman Housing Wire, and the Real Estate Research Council, and several local and national investment clubs. He's done a lot. He hosts the award-winning Norris Group radio show, real estate radio show and podcast on KTIE 590 AM, where he interviews real estate industry leaders, local experts, and economists. His guests have included FBI representatives, the NBA, Freddie Mac, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He's contributed articles to many real estate magazines. He's also been featured in the Wall Street Journal, Fox Business News, Nightline, ABC, New York Times, Time Magazine, Good Morning America, and numerous others. So what has he not done? Well, what he hasn't done yet is have a conversation with me, which I'm super excited that he's going to, because we're going to talk about some of the top mistakes investors make, the formula that he and I believe investors should use when buying property, some of the mistakes that real estate agents have been making, understanding what the margin of profit needs to be in your real estate deal, how you can find and keep the right contractors around for your real estate deals, and what perspective new investors like you and I should have on finding hard money, especially right now in a world where money is so prevalent, where it's so easy to find money for your real estate deals. How much should you be paying? Should you be paying 4, 5 points, origination points, and 12, 13, 14, 18, 20% returns in interest, essentially returns to your lender? Or should you be targeting those that are offering 1.5% or 2% in origination, 8 to 9% interest? The answer isn't necessarily as simple as it sounds. What I would also like to do is make sure that you have his website before we get started. It's thenorrisgroup.com. If you have an opportunity, also check out isurvivedrealestate.com. I think you'll find a lot of value in that. And also check out thinkrealty.com. I have a lot of training videos. I have a lot of courses and a lot of strategies that I talk about on thinkrealty.com. And it, quite frankly, if it wasn't for Think Realty, Bruce and I would never be having this conversation. I'm so happy to have him on because of the insight, the information, the crystal ball that this gentleman is going to bring to the table and bring to the microphone and bring to the airwaves for you today, I'm really excited about. So let's get started. And welcome to the show, Bruce Norris. Now, if I have to ask you a question, are you in a real estate of mind?
I am indeed, and always have been.
Awesome. I find that superstars like you generally are in a real estate of mind like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You dream about it, you daydream about it, and there's so much to just talk about with real estate, it seems.
You know, I've always enjoyed doing it, but I've really kind of latched onto a specialty of trying to figure out what's next. Most of the money I've made is trying to figure out the timing of when to do things, not just how to do them. And so that ended up being our specialty. So I'm the guy that reads 200-page reports every week about stuff that no one really cares about. And then I unearth something no one's ever figured out before, and it gives us a competitive advantage. I really enjoy that.
And that's where you started in 1997 with your report, The California Comeback, and you pretty much forecasted a lot of things. So I think it's a crazy awesome time to be talking about where the market is, some of the trends that you're seeing in California and the rest of the country. And I mean, I'm seeing things locally where I live in Atlanta. I feel like there's so much at play. There are a lot of new investors jumping into the market. They might be buying correctly. Most of them, I feel, are buying incorrectly. But before we get into all of that, take maybe 30, 45 seconds. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
I got started in 1980 as an investor, buying and selling. I started a company 15 years later called the Norris Group. We started a hard money loan business, started the education business. And then in 1997, we wrote our first document predicting what's next in the real estate market. So we kind of became a cycle timer, and that's what we got known for. We speak probably 60 times a year in front of audiences that expect us to tell them what's next.
And you also have a charitable component to everything that you do. Looks like you've raised over $785,000 for charity. I think that's tremendous with leaders and influencers like yourself in the market doing good for others. We're about to head to break. Bruce, it's going to be a fun time. And for those of you listening, you want to know what's next? Well, we have a guy that can read the crystal ball on the air. You do not want to miss this. Or at least he can read it better than I can, for sure. We'll be right back. Don't touch that dial.
Get into a real estate of mind right here with Think Realty Radio, hosted by Avi Golhar. Breaking down the latest market news, tips, and strategies, Avi Golhar is nationally recognized for his real estate expertise. It's only on Think Realty Radio, and it starts right now.
Mm-hmm.
back with Think Realty Radio and your host and realty dealmaker, Abhi Golhar.
Welcome back to Think Realty Radio. I'm your host, Abhi Golhar, and guess what? If you ever have had an inkling of wanting to know what's going to happen before it happens, I think right now we have the best shot at finding out. I live in Atlanta, and there's so much real estate activity in Atlanta from a fix and flip perspective, from a buy and hold perspective. There have been so many funds, institutional funds, hedge funds buying rentals in and around Atlanta as well. And I'm seeing the same thing in Birmingham and Chattanooga and Charlotte. And so it's always good to pick the brain of somebody that gets what's going on, has a tried and true history of predicting what's going on, and can help us understand better of what's to come. My guest today, Bruce Norris, the president of the Norris Group, is here to enlighten us a little bit about what's coming. Now, Bruce, what do you think? I know it's a loaded question.
I think this is an interesting time, and I think it might be a different ending than we've had before. I'm going to speak specifically about California first.
Got it.
We had the 90s, we had a downturn between 90 and 97. Prices went down about 20%. It was very gradual. It didn't feel severe. Then 2008 hit. We went down 60% in about 30 months. We had, I'll go back one more section, 1980 to 84. We had interest rates at 15%, unemployment at 12%. Foreclosures went up 1,000%, and we didn't go down at all in price. So when you have those, you know, you have some history of that, you start scratching your head and go, okay, well, what happened? When you have a big crash in price, the element to me that's most necessary is that lender inventory becomes the dominant product for sale. It dominates the comps. It's inescapable. If you tried to flip houses in 2009 in California, which we were doing, 9 out of 10 comps were a lender-owned property that just closed without a kitchen. And it was very difficult for the appraiser to say, okay, I know you've got 20 offers at a price that's 50 grand more, but I don't know how to make that case to the lender. So that's what I look for, is reasons to expect foreclosures to get out of control. Do I see that coming? I don't. And some main reasons. Partly because of how we handled this last time, we got aggressive foreclosing first and paid a huge price for it, and all of a sudden everybody decided almost to put a moratorium on foreclosures, and they just sort of stopped it. We taught people that's what to expect. The biggest thing, though, is coming from the lending world. We haven't let people in without really qualifying, and for the first time, they didn't extract their equity. There literally hasn't been any extraction of equity in the last decade, which means all these price gains is still there as a cushion. All the loans are fixed. So I don't see anybody being able to convince me that a case is coming, that there's going to be this next gigantic round of foreclosures that will be a glut in the market. I just don't see it.
I agree with you. Do you, though, feel that there's going to be a little bit of a correction? Because I'll give an example. In Atlanta specifically, maybe about a year and a half or 2 years ago, you could buy land lots to tear down or build on, develop, build new homes, new construction on, and you could buy them generally for about $80,000 to $90,000. Today, you can't get anything for less than $1.75, $1.80. I feel like the sellers have gotten smarter, obviously, as they do in a real estate market that's been running up for a while. And so I have wholesalers, real estate agents as well. They're definitely aware that the market is doing well. But there comes a point in time, I feel, where the challenges of buying for a real estate investor exceed the interest to buy. And then all of a sudden, we might see a little bit of a price correction. Do you see that coming at all? Maybe a 2 or 3, 4, 5% drop?
Be honest with you, if you did, it would be kind of an anomaly, not necessarily a trend that you have to be afraid of. So giving back something like that because of what you've just said, that can happen where you have too much exuberance and you have everybody pushing the limits. We talked about just things to talk about in a way, but one of the things investors make mistakes on is when you pencil a project and all your profit is price movement while you're doing the project. You know, that's, I see people do that in California. We buy a trustee sales and, you know, we know the numbers and you say, okay, well, 90% was of what was sold today was bought at a break even. The only way that's profitable is if the price moves while they own it.
Mm.
And that's the kind of mentality you get in a very competitive situation. You get everybody being optimistic, and maybe it's because that's just what happened to their other project. You know, they got a project they thought would sell for $350 and they got $390. Well, okay, you'd probably say, if I can make $40,000 on a $390 sale, I would do that again. So then they have to get $430 for the next one because their break even is $390. That's what starts to happen. And the more money that comes in, and as you know, there's been a lot of money enter into the buy and hold. That was the biggest enemy of the buy and flip in California, was you would be bidding against somebody that had no intention of flipping it. They were going to hold it and the cap rate made sense. And so that's the price they pay. So you'd go home shaking your head going, okay, there's no way they can flip that. And then you find out they didn't care.
Right.
They were going to buy 1,000 of them to hold them. And then they just moved from California to Texas and to Florida and wherever else.
Right.
So it's definitely been like the flavor of the month. What's interesting is it hasn't happened to be as easy as they thought. So that's why you see a lot of consolidation in that space. But then you see them expanding. One thing that's happened is money for investors via new entrance into the lending business. There's probably never been more private money available for investors.
Right. And I'm seeing that everywhere, whether it's some of these industry conferences, even at Think Realty, there's so many lenders, so many folks that are coming out and saying, hey, I want to get involved in lending for real estate deals. Even at AAPL, same thing, the American Association of Private Lenders, even at their events, right? There's a huge conversation around the money that's available. If I'm a new investor, what should, in your mind, what should I be looking out for when buying a property? Because that's really important.
Yeah. And it's actually, it's the most important skill there is in the industry to me, is the ability to buy something where there's a profit margin left, whether it be wholesale or retail or buy and hold. It's the most sought after skill. You can have a million conversations. I've been in the business for a long time. I've had hundreds of this phone call. If I find something, are you interested? Okay. That's the call. It's very rare somebody calls up and says, I have one. I've just tied up this $200,000 property for $90,000 and needs $30,000 worth of work and I don't know what to do with it.
Right.
That's a special phone call.
Yeah.
You've just proven to me you found what most people will never find.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have that skill, yeah, we're off and running. We can do a lot of that. So that's the thing, is that you really have to develop the understanding that when we buy, there has to be a margin of profit. We're in the contracting business. And we have all these known costs. And it's interesting when you deal with a realtor that, you know, they're upset at your offer, and yet they've never done this themselves most of the time.
That's right. And that's a very interesting topic to talk about. We got to get to break. I want to know what your formula is when we come back. Listen up, Think Realty Radio listeners. There's a lot more coming and many questions to be asked to Bruce of the Norris Group. Check him out. Go to thenorrisgroup.com. Got questions for me? Check out thinkrealty.com. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. Real estate investing made easy when Think Realty Radio returns. Think Realty Radio is back with host and real estate investment pro, Abhi Goldhar.
Welcome back. I'm Avi Golher, the host of Think Realty Radio. My guest today, Bruce Norris, the president of the Norris Group. We've been having a really good conversation so far about indicators and different things, but guess what? I've been thinking about all of these formulas that I hear from people all the time. I get emails about them all the time. Hey, you have to follow the 70% formula, the 60% formula, the 2% formula, the 2% rule for rentals. And I wanted to ask Bruce what his thoughts were, because it seems like in a market where price is always increasing, I feel like the numbers and the percentages should decrease just to be on the safe side. More specifically, the acquisition price and the renovation price together should be less than or equal to 65 to 70% of the fair market value of the property. And for me, that's been working. Generally, I'm at about 60 to 65. If I'm really focused on a property, maybe for a long-term hold, then you know I'll pay 70. It might squeak up to 72, 73% of fair market value. And that's, again, the acquisition plus the renovation cost. Bruce, is that a formula that you suggest would make sense for investors to follow, or do you have another formula that you use?
I tell you, it's been a journey, and honestly, part of it has to do with the competition. In the 90s, my formula was divide by two. That's the honest truth. I wouldn't pay more than half for a property. If it was a 200 grand property, I was going to pay 100 grand for it. I was going to auctions, and I was buying them. I was so busy, I needed to get a hard money source. The repairs were pretty basic. So there was a lot of margin. This is the 90s. When HUDs were having an auction, I don't know how long you've been doing this, but I used to go see 400 houses inside of 3 weeks and know prices, repair bills, appraisals on every one of them. And I am absolutely sure I was the only one in the audience that knew that. And so about 10 times I would buy stuff that was crazy. And that was the margin I got used to. As other people started doing the business, I feel 70% minus repairs really allows you about a 10% profit. And I think that's got to be the minimum standard, to be honest with you. So it's pretty close to what you've just said. 65% minus repairs gives you a 15% margin of profit. If you're borrowing hard money and you have payments, what happens to trustee sale buyers, and I've done lots of other buying and building and so forth, but what happens is you're in a competitive bid situation and you might watch other people's models and you realize that, okay, I have repair expenses at this, but then I look at my competitor and they're not doing what I thought was necessary. They're not sodding the lawns. They're not even putting grass in. And you start realizing that where you have to, when you truly are in a truly competitive environment, you start thinking about what's really necessary. You get deals on materials. You start using the same thing, so where you can buy in quantity. Mm-hmm. You deal with the same contractors and you get treated well. Everything is a place that you can save a margin, and that's what you end up having to do. If you're going to be really competitive at a number of, let's say, 80% minus repairs, you've got to have the back end really clean, where it isn't costing you a fortune to close, it's not costing you anything more than necessary to repair, and the speed of your team is excellent. You're bringing that product into market inside of, say, 45 days. So your return on your investment gets better as the speed increases.
I agree.
Go ahead.
I agree. I totally agree with the speed piece. I think the speed execution, working with contractors, and I feel like a lot of new investors will be challenged with that because the contractors will say, well, hey, you know, you're probably going to be doing one or two flips a year. Why would I spend my time with you versus, say, a pro like Bruce, where I know I'm going to get deal flow that's 20, 30, 40, however many a year, but I'm doing that in volume. How do you get a good contractor to stick around?
The big secret, pay them instantly. I mean, honest to goodness, that's an unusual thing. You will set yourself apart easier by just paying them instantly. You inspect the job, it's done, write them a check, and they'll just go, wow. They're not going to get strung out. You will be a priority account anytime you have a job. That's the truth. Understand they have to make a margin. You know, all this comes, though, with some experience. I'm saying that, but I realize how long it takes to build a team where you already know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the people we're doing business with, we've been doing business with for 25-plus years. I've already gone through the surprises. I know they're honest. I know if there's a surprise on the job, okay, we just uncovered something. You know, it's an 80-year-old house. We took off the roofing, and it's got major damage to the plywood, et cetera. I know I'm being told the truth. I know it's going to be an extra cost. I'm okay with that. The biggest thing you can do when you're dealing with projects is go to solution mode instead of screaming mode. Honestly, it's one of the things I hate about all these flipping shows.
Yeah,
it's
the
truth. The abuse that happens to people that are on the job site. I've been asked to participate in them many times. I've always passed on it because I'm not going to do that. I'm just not. Problems are going to happen on projects, period. And I've just taught myself to go to solution mode all the time. You get a contractor that you pay, and then when it hits the fan, you're actually a participant in the solution. You will not have any trouble finding contractors wanting to work with you.
It's a very good point. And it's a point definitely that needs to be listened to time and time again, because building that team is really important. If you're going to be in the business for a long period of time, you need a good contractor instead of high turnover of contractors. That's not acceptable, right?
That drives you nuts.
Yeah, that ultimately will be so detrimental. I mean, I remember I started out in inner city Detroit. This was in 2002.
Oh.
2002, though, when everybody was doing well, I was the only kid on the block losing money, right? I mean, it was difficult for me because I didn't know how to treat my contractor right. I was blaming him instead of saying, hey, how can we work together to find a solution? And I was withholding payment. I was doing everything that you're saying not to do. I was
okay.
Just destroying myself. And then you learn, right? And then you learn, you get better. So for new investors, we talked about there being a lot of money right now. What should I be looking for? What terms should I be looking for as a new investor? Let's say I've done maybe a deal or two, or maybe I haven't done any deals and I'm partnering with somebody that's a little bit more experienced. Ideally, in your mind, in your perspective, what terms should I be getting from hard money lenders or private money right now?
God, you know, that's a tough question to ask to a hard money lender. The only thing that was important to me, to be quite honest with you, was access.
Hmm.
I could make the deal work if I knew the terms of engagement in advance. So when I was borrowing hard money, it was 5 points, 12.5% interest, and I could care less because I was buying everything at 50% or under.
Yeah.
The access to the money allowed it to occur. And believe it or not, I mean, I've been in this business so long that hard money didn't even exist until this cycle with HUD in the 90s, where they had these auctions. And I was buying too many properties that I was running out of my cash and my own equity line on my residence. And so I had an employee door knock hard money lenders, and all they did was lend to owner-occupants. So I talked to one of them. I said, what if I was an investor and needed to borrow? They said, loan you at 65% LTV. Again, I was buying this stuff often for 40 cents on the dollar. So my first two loans, I had what continued.
Absolutely. Now, there is a little bit more of a story there, I'm sure, because hard money lenders have a very interesting perspective on deals as well. So I wanted to pick your brain knowing that you're a hard money lender, hence the difficult question to answer. But listen up. I want everybody right now to give Bruce some love. Go to thenorrisgroup.com. He has a lot of good information on his website. And if you want to get in touch with me, go to thinkrealty.com. We'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. Real estate investing made easy when Think Realty Radio returns. Think Realty Radio is back with host and real estate investment pro, Abhi Golhar.
And we are back. I'm Avi Golhar, the host of Think Realty Radio, and my guest today, Bruce Norris from the Norris Group. He specializes in market timing and real estate trends and just understanding what's going to happen generally before it happens. He looks at certain key indicators, and before the break, we were talking about what new investors should be looking at in terms of money for their deals. And I know, Bruce, this is definitely a tough question for you. You're a lender, and I was trying to get a perspective. But I think for me, if I'm really interested in finding the right money, I'm going to find between 2 and 4 points. If I'm new, I'm going to probably get 2 and 4 points and 10 to 12, 12.5% interest annually. I think in a hot market, you can definitely find some better rates. But like you said, you were buying in the 90s and you were borrowing at 5 points and what was it, 12%?
12.5.
12.5.
I mean, that's changed in California probably to 2.9.
Yeah,
but I don't want to have people lose what's important.
Sure.
When I did the first hard money loan, it was the first hard money loan this company ever did to an investor, and they were afraid. They thought it was safer to do occupant loans, which it is not. Basically, I'm a businessman. I'm getting a business loan. There were two properties that I had bought for 40% of value. They did the appraisal. One of them came in at 85 grand. I bought it for 34, and they were going to loan me 65%. So figure that out, whatever it is. It's over 50 grand. So I'm signing the loan docs, and I'm looking at the guy. By the way, the guy I'm looking at, this was 20-plus years ago, now works for the company. I said, does it bother you that you're loaning me more than I paid for it? And you should have seen his face. He bought it. What? I said, yeah, I paid 34 grand for it. I could tell he was concerned. He went and talked to his boss. They did the loan anyway, two loans that day. And I knew that they were concerned. And so I made 6 monthly payments of each loan up front. And all of a sudden it dawned on them, oh my God, this is a completely different client base. They gave me a $1 million letter to go to HUD for credit. And as I was buying these 10 houses, HUD literally took this letter like it was for real, and it was, but they would subtract. If I bought a house for 60 grand, then I had 940 available, etc. It opened up my world because I became a trusted partner. I realized how difficult it is to get trusted with money on their side of the table. And that's what an investor has to understand and has to respect, that when you're borrowing money, it's somebody's hard-earned savings. Make the payments on time. Don't force the lender to have the conversation with the person with money because you're 30 days late all the time. It's going to hurt your access, period.
And that word, access, is something that you've definitely said a couple of times, and it makes sense, right? And I think that's actually probably that should, if there's one word that should encapsulate the show, I think it's that word of access. If you have the right access to capital and you have the right relationships, then there's so much that's possible with real estate investing. And I think in the 90s, obviously, the market was definitely different, right? So you were comfortable in paying the 5 and 12.5. It made sense because you were taking the asking, dividing by two, and that's what you were getting. If you can find money at good rates, prove to these lenders, prove to Bruce and his group that you are worth their time. And the moment that you prove yourself to them, the conversation of, hey, Abby needs an extra million or an extra $1.5 million or an extra $5 million for my projects or for your projects becomes significantly easier because then they can have that conversation in-house and say, yeah, good borrower, good guy, good-looking guy. And here's some money. So going back to this conversation about real estate agents, and we didn't finish that because I think that's super, super important. We had roughly discussed that real estate agents generally, and this is quite unfortunate about the world, they generally don't grasp the concept of investing as well as they should.
And
Right. And
they don't do it.
Exactly. So I was speaking with one of my buddies a couple days ago, and he said, listen, Google real estate, right? So I Googled real estate and you found, you know, the Zillow, Redfin, search results, all the major brokerages, et cetera. And then he said, do this. Google real estate investing. And none of the same brokerages showed up. And I'm like, wow. Considering that 20%, roughly 20% of the transactions that are completed in the real estate world every single year in this country are by investors. That is abysmal, right? Like,
well, and it's also repetitive business. If I'm a real estate agent and I want 20 transactions, most of the time I've got to have 20 sets of people in my car with 20 sets of kids in the back seat, or I could deal with one investor.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you just a little history. We're welcome in any brokerage in Riverside in our area to speak. They love us, okay, but that isn't how it started. 20 years ago, I get in front of an audience of 400 agents, and I said, I'm just curious. I said, I run an ad that I buy exactly what you sell. Here's my ad. I buy houses for cash. It's been in your paper for 15 years, and I've never gotten one phone call by any of you. Why is that?
Right.
Now, that was... They're looking at me going, a guy stood up and he says, because you guys are a bunch of idiots, you make offers at 70 cents on the dollar and you expect us to get them accepted. I said, you know what? Maybe you have a point. I said, how about we swap seats today? I'm going to get a commission on a 70% buy and you're going to get the deal. He says, I'll be excited about that. I said, let's go through it. And so I had all these agents on board. I said, okay. And we picked the value, 100 grand house at the time. You want me to buy it for 70 grand? I said, let's go. I said, it's gonna be an REO, it's gonna be vacant. So I had them all figure out how much it cost to repair, and they all came up with a number. It's about 12 grand.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, I'm gonna borrow some money. It's gonna cost me 5 points. I'm gonna have 6 payments. We figured out that was gonna be another 10 grand. And I said, it's all done now. I said, I list it or sell it myself. And there was, of course, I was unanimous. We ought to list it. Mm-hmm. What's that gonna cost? It's gonna cost 10 grand. We haven't yet considered insurance and taxes. And I said, at the 100 grand sale, I net 68 grand. And I paused and I looked at the guy. I said, how do you feel about that? He says, I'm completely shocked. I said, yeah, and here's the next piece of bad news. Every investor that you shoved into a deal for more than 70 cents on the dollar, you guaranteed them a loss. And you could have heard a pin drop.
Yep.
That's what they needed to understand is you need to sit in my seat.
Yes.
And it's not that we just made 30 grand. We made nothing.
Right.
And that was the first time he had to deal with that. And it was, and you know what? I bought REOs from him after that. That's the God's truth.
Hey, that's good. That's a good end of the story there, Bruce. I mean, I think, I think that the numbers and the mathematics of these flips or even rentals, the work, agents just don't understand that. And I think for me, I really need to make it more of my personal mission and crusade to help fix that void. Because imagine if you had thousands of agents, right? Okay, maybe thousands of agents is overreaching. Maybe even if it's 5 or 10 good agents that understand the REO world, they have good community contacts. And the moment that they have a listing that just doesn't fit their mold because it's not renovated and they can't sell it. And they'll often say, oh, I'm sorry, you, the homeowner, have to make the renovation so I can actually sell the home for you. If we had a couple of those in a couple of cities, imagine what that would do not only for the agent in terms of income, but then in terms of opportunity for us, the investor. It's incredible. But, you know, wishful thinking.
CarMax has done a wonderful job buying cars and informing the public. Give us a shot. If you ever watch their ad, are you familiar with CarMax? They buy cars for cash.
Yep, yep.
And there's an ad that goes on the TV, and it has a starting line. And you're going to sell your car. Well, start here. Take your car to CarMax and get an all-cash offer. What does it cost?
You're right. Bruce, I appreciate your time today. A lot of thought-provoking information about where we are, markets, indicators, formulas to use, and just good old solid-fashioned information. Thank you for your time.
You betcha.
Listen up, everyone. There are a couple of things that I want you to do. One, check out thenorrisgroup.com. He's a lot of great information, a lot of great insight into what's going on, who he is, what he does, and be a part of his loan programs. Get involved with what he is doing and borrow, 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 because it could make your life easier. Got questions for me? Go to thinkrealty.com. It's where I live, or consider this an open invitation to stalk me online. Check me out.
The show is over, but Abhi's expertise is available for you 24/7 at thinkrealtyradio.com. Videos, articles, podcasts, insights, everything you need to create more for your future right at your fingertips. Think Realty Radio, a real estate of mind, online at thinkrealtyradio.com.